I have this little article here that somebody gave me the other day. It says, can you imagine working with these people? Can you imagine working with the following company? It has a little over 500 employees with the following statistics. 29 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have been bankrupt at least 2 businesses. 3 have been arrested for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are current defendants in lawsuits. In 1998 alone, 84 were stopped for drunk driving. Can you guess which organization this is? It is the 535 members of the United States Congress. The same group that perpetually cranks out hundreds upon hundreds of new laws designed to keep the rest of us in line. Pretty amazing. But you know what? It's pretty interesting when you look at government and you look at the non-believing world, but I am surprised with the church. I want to speak to you tonight about the church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to go back just a little bit to give you a little bit of historical facts, but Paul the Apostle is the writer to 1 Corinthians. And Paul the Apostle is writing because in Corinth, not only did God send him there to preach to these people that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but these people were in deep trouble themselves. When you study the whole history of Corinth and the 1,000 prostitutes that were there in the temple, and at night they would come down and they would actually, you know, unify themselves with people in the city. It seems, as Paul writes, that when you talk about the Christian life, you know, living the Christian life, you have to understand that God has given us the, not only, I don't want to say the law, because we're not under the law, but God has given us the right and the freedom through His grace and love and mercy, how we can serve the Lord. Think of how many people do you know today that are truly living the Christian life. Truly living the Christian life without compromise. I believe that there is a remnant, even like Israel had a remnant of people, there are a remnant of people in the church that truly love God. And they want to be pleasing to God and they want to serve God. Because the way I read the Bible and the way the scriptures are written for us, we should be living our lives in obedience to God. That is, I cannot obey God unless my life is submitted to God. Because when I was in the world, hey, I was under my own command. I did what I pleased. I didn't care what people thought about me. If they didn't like it, that's too bad. You know, that's the way I am. And, you know, who cares? But as a child of God, we cannot have the attitude of arrogance. We have to be very careful that we not only are in submission to Jesus Christ, but that people can see the love and the grace and the mercy that has been extended to each one of us individually. Otherwise, tell me, how are people truly going to come to know Christ if we are not being a light as a church? It's God's people. Because here in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is going to show us the true condition of the church in his time. But I believe that this is the true condition of the church today. The true church was a carnal church. A church that was disobedient to God. It's pretty amazing when you counsel. As a pastor, I counsel many, many people. As a matter of fact, I was counseling with somebody today and they came in and they had an emergency. So I went downstairs and I went, you know, to talk to them. And this guy was really shook up. He says, you know, in my house, I'm seeing demons. I'm talking to demons. I said, well, are you a Christian, first of all? He goes, yes. I said, well, then Satan can do nothing to you. Because the light is greater than the darkness, right? I said, what were you doing before? Well, I used to be into drugs and I took all kinds of drugs. I said, are you taking drugs today? No, I'm not. Okay, well, there has to be something. If you're getting harassed and you're actually, you know, seeing demons, you know, or all these things are going on. And then his girlfriend told me that he's kind of hallucinating. And I said, well, are you still on drugs? He said, no. Okay, then what's going on here? I said, are you guys living together? He says, well, yes, but we're not sleeping together. I said, you're a liar. I said, you're lying. I said, because I tell you what, as a pastor and as a man, I could never stay in a room with a woman and say, hey, you know what? You go to that side, I'll go to that side, and we won't come together. That's baloney, man. Because we're human. And why tempt, Satan to tempt you? And so I told him, I said, you know what? If you want God to bless you, if you want God to really work in your life, you got to get rid of him and her. You got to separate. You got to go your own way. You got to wait on God to see if he wants you to be boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, or wife. And if you can contain yourself, then get married, but do it right. And they walked out. They were happy. But at the same time, I thought, can you imagine this is just one couple? How many even here tonight are probably living in sexual sin? And you came and you're worshiping the Lord and you're singing the songs and you read your Bible and you think, hey, man, I'm on target. You're not on target. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. The God that we serve is a holy God. He's a loving, caring, graceful God that will forgive sin, but at the same time, he will not put up with sin. That's why when Paul came to this church, Paul's coming to this church and now he's writing because he's away from the church and he's left the church behind and he's hearing that in this Greek society, they had 1,000 prostitutes in Corinth, and he's hearing that even in the church where they were attending, the Corinthian Christians, that somehow there was a young man they were shacking up with his mother-in-law. And Paul says, hey man, that should not be so. He says, what's the matter with the pastor? What's the matter with the elders? What's the matter with the deacons? What's the matter with the people in the church? Don't they see it? Why are they so blind? They were compromising their position by allowing this woman and this man to go ahead and come to church and live together and everything was cool. It was not cool. Paul confronted the issue. He says, if that person doesn't repent and doesn't really want to be forgiven, but he wants to continue in his sin, then kick him out of the church. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. That's why when people are confronted with sin, if they don't repent and they don't want to change their lives, then what happens is that we as the body of Christ are allowing a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. And of course, we're all sinners. So imagine if my sin, your sin, and you multiply that times, 500 or 1,000 or 2,000, can you imagine why God is not working the way that he wants to work like in the early church? Where is the power of God? If there is so much sin. God's grace is tremendous in our lives. But shall we take advantage of the grace of God? God forbid, Paul said. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? You see? We used to be like that. We all used to party. We all used to drink. Some of you took drugs and we used to all fornicate and commit adultery and do all those things. But as a child of God, imagine you being in an adulterous relationship or being a fornicator or a druggie or a social drinker or a liar or a thief or a murderer, and then you're trying to share the gospel with people and all you're doing is you're making people stumble because you're a hypocrite. You have no right to share the gospel if you're not living right for God. The gospel is pure. It's holy God that we serve. And I think we have to be careful because I believe that the fear of God is no longer in the church. It's become like a social club where we gather together and we have fun and we sing and we hear, you know, bands and we hear music and we hear the Word of God, but the Word of God does not take effect in our hearts. It's falling upon stony ground. May God help us. The Lord is coming soon. And yet I believe that the church, which the church is the salt of the earth, a light on the hill that cannot be hid. And the whole thing, that the reason God has not come yet is because of His love and grace and mercy. Because if He would already come, many of us would have never made it into the kingdom of God. But because He loves us so much and because He's patient, He hasn't come. And He's holding back. The Holy Spirit within the church is holding back the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist spirit has been here for 1900 years already. Pretty heavy when you think about it. When you study the Word of God. Look what Paul says. There in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And then we'll go to chapter 6. Beginning with about... let me go back here. I have 2 Corinthians here. Chapter 5 beginning with verse 9. Look what he says. I write to you in my epistle not to keep company with any sexual immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean that with sexual immoral people of this world or of the, or there are covetous or there are, you know, extortioners or idolaters. Because otherwise, he says, If I'm talking about the world, then, you know, we have to kind of walk around in a spacesuit because, you know, we're contaminated by the world. And we have to work with the world. And we have to go to restaurants and, you know, shopping and the malls. Anywhere we go, there are non-believers. But he's not talking about those fornicators or adulterers or druggies that are in the world. He's talking about Christians. Why? Because Paul writes all of the epistles, he writes to believers. The epistles are for believers, for Christians. He talks about doctrine. He talks about what we should be now that we are in Jesus Christ as believers. So then he goes on. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with anyone who calls himself a Christian. There it is. Underline it. Anybody that says he's a brother or a sister in the Lord and is living this kind of lifestyle, here's the instructions that he gives to you. Look what he says. He says, anybody that's called a brother who is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, no, don't even eat with such a person. Don't even have lunch with them. Why? Because then you're supporting them. You're supporting their sin. He said, that's harsh. Hey, I didn't make the rules. God did. God did. If you really want to see people get saved, then you got to live the life and they got to be able to see that you're living the life of Jesus Christ. It's so incredible how God works in the scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians, now chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And here again, he's going to tell you. He says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And here it is. Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is, not even homosexuals, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such, here is the key, and such were some of you, but you have been washed, but you have been sanctified, but you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You see, we used to be like that. No more. No more. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But we should not be in association in that kind of a lifestyle anymore. And yet I know that in our church, there are people that drink sociably all the time. One or two or three brewskis, you know, they drink them up. And there are some that still smoke marijuana. And they come faithfully every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night. And they sit in the same place. And yet you figure, man, Lord, when are you going to convict them by the power of your Holy Spirit? They have ears to hear, but they don't hear. You see? They're just sitting there, taking in a bunch of words. And may God help us not to be like that, because there are so many Christians today that are living like, you know, like the Corinthians. And if they have not had a chance really personally to really know God in depth, to really know Him and to love Him and allow God to use your lives. That's what God wants to do. We need to be careful with our hearts. Why? Because you can't trust your heart. You cannot trust your heart. In Jeremiah 17:9-10, he says, the heart is deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart is deceitful. Even though they have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, they were not living their lives according to the Word of God. That's the problem. You can make your own rules, your own laws. But if they don't match the Word of God, hey man, you're off the wall. You're going to the left. You're on the other side. We have to be biblical. We have to stand upon God's Word. Any experience that I may have, I have to do what? I have to bring it and check it out with the Word of God. Why? Because even the devil transformed himself into an angel of light. That's doctrinal. How do I do that? Well, if I have an experience in my life, I check it out. Can I find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Can I find it in the book of Acts? Can I find it in the epistles? And if it's there, then I accept it. If not, I don't accept it. That's the way it is. That's how you teach doctrine. There are too many people inserting their own words into the Word of God. And remember the warning in the book of Revelation, whoever adds, I will add the plagues of this life. Remember that? And if you take away, I will take away from you, from the book of life. I think we need to be careful the way we treat the Word of God. The Word of God is holy. This is God's word. He spoke it. He gave it to Moses, 10 commandments. And then when Christ came, he came to fulfill the law so that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can believe in him, we can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed and washed by his blood, and we can have a new life, and we can walk in newness of life. That's why we're Christians. I'm not, when people ask me, what are you? I always tell them, hey, I'm a Christian. What's Christian? Christ-likeness. That's what we are. We use the name of Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. People are deceived today, thinking that you can continue to live a life in the flesh and still go to heaven. Still go to heaven. I can have all of the world and I can have all of heaven. Wrong. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to show you right now in the epistles, all the way through Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, and all the way through the book of Revelation, it talks about those that are practicing sin in the church. Look what he says. Even Jesus himself, he warns us in Matthew 7, 21, 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Who does he say is going to go to heaven? Those that do the will of God. If you're not doing the will of God, which is what? Being obedient to the word of God, then don't expect to go to heaven. He said, well, who's going to be in heaven? Hey, listen, on the day of judgment, this is what people are going to say. Some will say on that day, says, many will say unto me on that day. Now, when Jesus speaks about heaven, he always speaks about the narrow way and the straight way and few. When he speaks of destruction or hell, he speaks of the way being broad. Many go there. So watch what he says. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? They're going to stand there in the presence of God and say, hey, I had the gift of prophecy. Thus saith the Lord God. That's what they're saying. Then there'll be another group there. They will come along and say, and we have done many wonders. Notice, we have done what? Not only we have done many wonders, but we have cast out demons in your name. They could literally exorcise demons out of people. They're going to stand in the presence of Christ. Then they're going to say, we also were able to do many miracles and wonders in your name. Notice, everything was done in the name of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Here's his answer. And then I, Jesus, will declare unto them. Here it is. I, Jesus, never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The loving, gentle, kind Jesus. Depart from me. You have no part in my kingdom. You might have known me, but I don't know you. Pretty heavy. They prophesied, they cast out demons, and they did miracles and wonders. Imagine that. And they're not going to be there. They're going to be judged. Then check this out. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, Paul, speaking to believers about the works of the flesh and the spirit, he says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. The word sorcery here in Greek is pharmakia, and that is the use of drugs and not Advil or aspirin. Okay? There he goes. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilries, which means wild parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're practicing, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Any one of those things. How about Paul again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 7? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting Christians. There it is. Who he's talking to? Christians. Christians should never live like this. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, dirty jokes, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And then he says this, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partaker with them. He warns you. All the way through. If you're partaking with people that are disobedient in these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not. And I didn't say it. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 8. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves, here it is, once used to walk when you lived in them. But now you are yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Notice that. I mean, all the way through Revelation 21:8. He says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, there it is again, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then lastly, Revelation 22:15. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, there it is again, sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. You see? Practicing again. Whoever practices those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not really making up a new law or a new set of rules and regulations. That's not what we're doing here tonight. But you have to really be honest with God. You have to be honest with God. Why? Because God is omnipresent. He can see everything. He is everywhere at all times. And if you think that you can hide, you know, you can be one kind of a person in the church and then go out and be another kind of a person, then you're a hypocrite. Because you're living a double standard life. We have to be the same all the time. Wherever we are. In the pulpit and out of the pulpit. In the supermarket or wherever I may be, I have to be the same person if I am a child of the light. And that's the problem today. Too many people put on too many masks in their faces. Like in the ancient times, they become an actor, a playwright. He's acting the part, but he's not really himself. May God help us. Because God wants us to be the children of the light. He doesn't want anything to happen to us. We must not forget what Paul said. That those people that do not have God in their hearts in that way, what's going to happen to them? They're going to receive the wrath of God. And then remember what Paul said? Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. All things are brand new. I don't continue to be the way I used to be in my past. I can't. It would destroy me. I would destroy my relationship with God. In Ephesians chapter 4, 23, 24, Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on now the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness, listen, and in true holiness, in true holiness. You see, you and I used to be what? Foolish people. Secondly, we were dead in sin. Thirdly, we were children of Satan. And fourthly, we were children of wrath. And fifthly, we were living in and after the flesh all the time, 24 hours a day. And six, we lived in pure darkness. And we walked according to our desires of the flesh. But you see, right now, as a child of God, I have received a new life. How? By being born again of the Holy Spirit. We call that regeneration. Jesus with Nicodemus said it. Hey, you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't get into the kingdom of God. You cannot join the church. You have to be born into it. Secondly, it is through God's grace that He gives to me, that unmerited favor that I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also through His love that He has for me. The love that He has for me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Imagine that. Christ died for you. In Romans 5:8 He says, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And then we receive this life through faith in Jesus Christ. I put my trust and faith in Him because He's the only one that can save me. He's the only one that has given me heaven. I destroyed my life. I was in darkness. And if I would have died in my past, I would have gone to hell. But He gave me and He rescued me from my sin because He loved me. This new life now has been produced by three factors, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and by faith. Those three areas. God has given to me through His Holy Spirit life, through the Word of God, new life. And through faith, this new life now has come as I put my faith and trust in Him. You know what else He's done? He has set me free. Free from becoming a slave to sin. Free from never being condemned ever again. Free also to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Imagine that. All that God has done for me. Everything is God that He's done for me. And yet, there are people that don't even care. They just continue to be disobedient and they rebel against God and they continue to think, well, you know what? God will spare me. God will forgive me. God will do this. God will do that. He will never do anything until you're serious with God and you repent of your sins. You repent of your sins. You face the facts. Look, I've sinned against God. And there may be some of you here tonight for the first time don't even know God. But I'm talking to you that are Christian that you think that you're going to heaven and if you're practicing the things that we've talked about here tonight, you better think twice. You better rethink your mind. You better check it out again and examine your life and take an examination of your heart and make sure you don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself because the devil's a liar. The devil will agree with you. And he'll pat you on the back and say, oh, don't worry about it. God will forgive that one. You know, just go to the next one. You know, don't worry about it. It's okay. It doesn't work like that. You have to be honest with God. And I wonder tonight, how many of you that are here tonight can be honest with God and say, you know what? I find myself in that area of my life. In sin. That's why you have no peace, no joy. That's why, you know, you try to pray and you can't pray, or you try to be used to God, and God will use donkeys, believe me. He uses me. He uses donkeys all the time. So don't think because, you know, you're good looking or you're, you know, you're a good speaker, oh man, God's gonna, you know, God can use anybody He wants. But let me ask you this, is the anointing on your forehead? Can people see the oil in your forehead? That's what Tozer said. And then if they can see the actual anointing in your head, then can they hear the word of God that God has given to you by His anointing as He speaks to your life because there's power in your life. When you're in sin, there's no power. No power at all. We have to have power from above. Not from going to the gym. Up there, the Lord is the one that gives us power. So I pray tonight that if there's anybody here tonight that is not a child of the light, you're in darkness. One thing you can do, you can leave here tonight same way you came. Nobody will do anything to you. Nobody will condemn you. Nobody will force you to come to Christ. The only way you can come to Christ, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit convicts you and it pricks your heart, he cuts you, then you know, man, oh, man, it's the Lord. And you cannot ever be the same person again. That's what happened to me. I could never be the same person again. When God cut me, he cut me good. He showed me my filthiness. He showed me my sin. And yet, he was willing and he did forgive me for every one of my sins. And he continues to do that when we're honest with God. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you and wash you. If you step out by faith and say, God, I am a sinner and I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you right now where you're sitting at, that if you want Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you want him to forgive you for every one of your sins. I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come up here to the front and stand right here in front. And I want you to get up and stand right here and we're going to pray for you. Don't wait for others. You get up as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. No one is here by coincidence, but we're here by divine appointment. Is that if you really want to go to heaven, you get up and you come immediately. This is something God is offering to you freely. He doesn't charge it. He's paid for the whole thing himself when he died on the cross, when they put the nails through his hands and his feet. And then they put that spear through his side and he died of a broken heart when the water and the blood came forth because he loved you so much. He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And I know there's many of you here tonight that are here and you need Jesus Christ. Get up and come. We're going to sing it again. Get up and come as God speaks to your heart. Come now.
Just as you are, come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Everlasting strength.
Sometimes when we're quickened by the Holy Spirit, He speaks to our hearts. Come. Anybody else? Wherever you are, young or old, it doesn't matter. Maybe you came with a friend. You don't want to come by yourself. You need to come by yourself. You need to make a public declaration. Hey, I want Jesus Christ in my life. So get up and come. We're going to sing it one more time. You get up and you come and join these up here. Okay, come. Before we pray with every one of you, anybody else, before we pray, always want to make sure, because that's the most important part of the service right now, salvation. That you came here tonight and you walk away without salvation, man, you're a fool. Because God gave to you His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, tonight to die for your sins. And all you have to do is just get yourself up and walk down the aisle just like these people and come and receive His love. And His grace and His mercy. And tonight you'll get your name written in the book of life, the Bible says. And He will forgive you for every sin you have ever committed. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Anybody else? I feel there may be more before I pray. If you're here, please get up and come. Wherever you may be. Anybody else? Come. All right. Let's get up and come. Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? I always want to make sure, you know, we don't want to leave you without the Lord getting somebody else. Okay, everybody's come, right? Okay, we're going to pray for all of you here tonight. You've come up because God spoke to your hearts. Whatever you've done, God's convicted you. Now you're going to repent. You're going to ask Jesus Christ to come into your lives. He's going to cleanse you, wash you, and forgive you for every sin you've ever committed. Every sin. And the Bible says that when one sinner repents, in heaven, the angels of heaven rejoice. They have a huge party tonight. All right? Let me pray with you guys. Okay. Why don't you pray with me? Pray with me this prayer out loud. Make it your prayer tonight, okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to wash me by your blood. And I receive you as my Lord, my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They're going to give you a Bible, some literature, and counseling. Go right over there. See that guy right over there? Go right over there. Follow them right through there. Okay? Go right through there, you guys, all the way through. Neat. All right. Go all the way through. You guys, don't block the doorway, okay? Let these guys go first. There you go. All right. Go all the way through. Praise the Lord. That's neat. Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord. God bless you guys.
This is the end of side two and the end of this message. If you'd like further information on tapes, contact Chapel Tapes, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.